99.3 County FM is your voice, connecting the county. Seniors and technology, embracing the digital world, is our effort to help people of all ages understand current and upcoming technologies. Learn how to capitalize on tech for you and your family. The following is a County FM exclusive original documentary funded by the Government of Canada's New Horizons for Seniors program.
Welcome to Episode 6 of 99.3 County FM series on seniors and technology, embracing the digital world. In our last episode, we explored home automation, technology, and devices that make life safer and more convenient for seniors at home. This week, we'll learn how some seniors are enriching their lives through online learning. When we were preparing for this series, we conducted a survey to learn how county seniors felt about technology. Of the various options, oddly enough, the lowest rank use was lifelong learning. Less than one-third of respondents indicated using their devices for this activity, but those who had assured us it was a positive experience.
Yes, I've taken many certificates online. I took my degree online from the University of Waterloo. This was many, many, many years ago. I use technology for workshops, for upgrading, and for listening to webinars. Recently, I listened to a series of webinars on arthritis, which were very, very informative and helpful.
I have done numerous courses. I like that I can do it at my own pace, even though they'll have guidelines for when exams are going to be due or assignments are due. However, when you work during the day, it gives you the freedom to do those online courses in the evening. Plus, you can meet with other, for me, educators, and you can do those little chats about different case scenarios that might come up.
To go a little deeper into the topic, we spoke to an expert about our capacity for learning later in life and the benefits it might offer. Dr. Natalia Balyaniskova is a PhD associate professor and graduate program director in the Faculty of Education at York University. We asked her what the research says about a senior's learning capacity.
Research strongly challenges this old saying that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. We all know that learning remains possible across the life course. All the studies show this. A lot of research acknowledges that certain aspects of cognition change with age. So we cannot be denying the biology here. We know that processing speed is different, short-term memory and other capacities, they can remain changed, but some of them can remain stable. For example, research shows that cognitive capacities such as reasoning, pattern recognition, ability to draw on experience, so what we call crystallized intelligence, actually strengthen with time. So from this perspective, research shows that older adults learn differently rather than less effectively. The problem here is that we keep measuring the effectiveness of learning based on models of younger people. And we see that older adults tend to integrate new information with prior knowledge. They derive personal meaning from learning. So the problem here is less that people can't learn, but that the learning environments are not designed to accommodate different modes of cognitive work. If the learning contexts are designed with that awareness, we see that older adults learn quite effectively. So we find that this connection to personal interests, to identities, and to life goals tends to be more motivating and sustainable when they value participant experience rather than, you know, position them as novices who don't, you know anything.
But beyond finding out something new, research shows that learning has many other benefits for seniors.
Research shows that there is participation in learning activities really associated with cognitive stimulation, a sense of purpose, increased confidence. It can reduce social isolation. There are quite often we hear such words as belonging, finding community, finding new meaning in life. There's idea for strengthening community ties, especially for those who experience such transitions, because life is about transitions. And in later life, we find so many major transitions that push people to maybe reconsider who they are. For example, we think about retirement. Who am I if I'm not a professor? Like, what is my life about if all my life has been about teaching and researching? And there is real danger in feeling like you're not needed anymore, you don't belong anymore. So in this sense, joining a learning community can be so supportive, and it can help people to reimagine, re-envision who they are, what they can contribute.
We asked Dr. Balyaniskova if she had any advice for seniors wanting to make learning a bigger part of their lives. Here's what she said.
If somebody wants to take up learning at any stage, in later life or not, my practical advice, follow personal interest in your life goals and find a community that shares your values, because learning is a social process. Learning is not just about acquisitive skills. It's about community, learning circles, discussions, finding new friends. And yeah, there will be struggle, but I always think that the struggle is productive.
And how does technology factor into the learning experience for seniors?
Technology is an integral part of our life. It can be a powerful ally in later life learning, but only when it's used to support agency and access. What I've seen is that, of course, because of technology, Zoom or other video platforming, we can learn from home despite mobility issues. That has been a very big enabler of access. However, I do think that technology can also undermine learning. And it can undermine learning when it is poorly designed and when it's imposed on people. There's so much research about technological ageism because it assumes a certain level of digital fluency. Because of this, I think a lot of people tend to internalize their mistakes as failure, because they think, oh, I cannot log in, I can't figure it out, I don't know where to click. But it's not about individual failure, it's about systems design. This kind of digital ageist exclusion, it's a serious issue.
What we can take away from this is that later in life learning works best when it's flexible, self-paced, and aligned with our personal interests. There are countless learning opportunities available to Canadian seniors, covering every possible topic and interest, and many are low or no cost. With that much choice at our fingertips, the question is, where do you start? Fortunately, there is help available. Contact North is an Ontario-based not-for-profit organization that helps people find, select, and register for online programs and courses offered by colleges, universities, Indigenous institutes, school boards, and other training providers. Established in 1986 by the Government of Ontario, they provide free, personalized one-on-one help, including information on programs, registration assistance, technical support, and access to technology. We spoke with Tiffany Crow, Contact North Education and Training Advisor for our area.
The idea of online learning has really started to broaden over the years. It can be anything from starting to learn in digital skills, like your basic how to use a computer, anywhere in between, and all the way up to, you know, earning the university bachelor's degrees, anything in between, whether you're upskilling, you're looking for professional development, or even just pursuing a topic of interest. Contact North is able to support people by phone, email. We can even do it over Zoom if someone is aware of how to use it and comfortable with it. I can also offer in person. I am able to find locations and meet up as a one-on-one in person as well. So I encourage, usually starting with a phone call or an email would be the best way to initiate, to start things. And from there, we can tailor and personalize each step of the way.
So, what can we expect when we engage with Contact North? Tiffany strives to ensure the information she provides is aligned with interests, budget, and technical ability.
I'm going to ask you probing questions that might make you really think about what it is you're after. And the purpose of the questions is to make sure I'm offering you and finding the courses that are tailored to your interests and your needs.
They will also discuss your budget to be sure their suggestions are in line, not just with your interests, but with what you're willing to invest. Fortunately, there are plenty of free options to consider.
A lot of the colleges and universities do offer programming. Sometimes it's 60, a lot of the times it's 65 plus, where they will offer free or usually extremely reduced pricing for someone to go back and attend school. And then I will help with registration. And a lot of the times I reach out and follow up after the fact. I don't just find you options and then send you on your way. I'm a support from the beginning to the end. So I will be there to support and check in regularly as well.
But what about people who don't have the right tech at home?
If you want to do online learning, but maybe you don't have the necessary technology at home, you need a laptop, you don't have one, Contact North offers laptop loaners for free. So if there is a barrier, such as you don't have the equipment at home, reach out to me. As long as you're enrolled in an online course, Contact North will send you a laptop for free to your home. You use it for the duration of your course, and then you write to us when you are done, and we will send you a label, and you send it all back, and even the shipping, everything is at no cost. We fight to break down the barriers for anyone wanting to learn at home.
We asked Tiffany if she had any success stories she could share. She told us about Colleen Johnson, who is, incidentally, a county resident. We caught up with Colleen to get her story.
So why did I want to go to university? Well, when I graduated high school back in 1976, girls were not encouraged to get an education past high school. In fact, if you could finish high school, they kind of always thought that was a bit of a waste too. But I'd always had a burning desire to go to university, which I did not due to, you know, costs in life. So I found out there was a program that is offered by the universities, depending on the university you go to. It was a different prices. Now, I chose Laurentian University out of Sudbury because it was actually free to take the classes. All you were responsible for were the books and student fees, but the classes themselves were for free. I started during COVID, which I was really, really lucky that they were still doing classes via Zoom. So I was actually able to go to actual classes as opposed to strictly being online and doing it on my own, which was really, really helpful. Technology, I'll tell you, I wish they had had this when I was going to school 40, 50 years ago, because from someone who everything had to be like handwritten, now everything is on computer. Textbooks were on computer. All your papers that you had to read were all on computer. It was great. I got to participate with the students, and that was great because they would ask me questions, because one of my first courses was mid-century, 20th century. Well, when did I grow up? When was I their age? Mid-century, 20th century. So they had all kinds of questions. They were really interested in knowing what was it like living through the Vietnam War, FLQ crisis, stuff like that. So I ended up going for an honors degree in history with a minor in gerontology. I finished my minor and I'm almost finished my history portion. I have one more semester after this and I'll be done and I'll have my fancy little paper and I'll be on my way. I never would have thought that I would have been able to do it. When I first started out, I remember opening it up, looking at the first class, and I'm going, oh my God, what have I got myself into? So that whole self-confidence and that I've always had a desire to learn, kind of proud of myself that I've done it and I've stuck to it, because a lot of people said, you'll take one course and that'll be the end of it and you won't like it. And that wasn't the case at all. I've really enjoyed it. And like I said, another thing off my bucket list that I proved to myself that I could have went to university, or I did go to university.
Tiffany reiterates what we all know to be true, that taking the first step is all that's required to begin.
Just don't let age or anything stop you. Never hurts to ask a question because you don't know where it's going to lead you.
Right here in the heart of Picton, the Prince Edward Learning Center is another option for anyone trying to navigate the online learning ecosystem. We spoke with Lori Farrington and Terry Martin from the center to learn how they can help.
So we have people who just walk in off the street or give us a call and want to make an appointment because they have identified a learning need. There's something they want to learn for a specific reason. We like to meet with everyone and have a little sit down and try and find out what they want to learn, why they want to learn it, and then how can we fit them into our funded mandate.
Prince Edward Learning Center doesn't have its own bank of online learning platforms. Instead, they have become very good at finding free sites and teaching people how to use them.
There's one that I found recently was Senior Planet, and I really liked that because it seemed like it kind of came out of COVID, although I'm not sure, but it's connecting seniors to each other digitally. So you don't have to leave your home, you don't have to travel, and you can log in every morning and meet the same group of people to talk about, you know, XYZ, or to do a yoga class together, from the comfort of your living room, but you're doing it with real people that you see and you meet. You can take courses that way. And I think that really helps you deal with isolation and loneliness and depression that, you know, everyone can feel, but certainly within the seniors' world, that is a major concern.
And what about those who might not be completely comfortable with using technology?
We use a lot of different websites like Learning Hub, Good Learning Anywhere, Allison, YouTube. Yes, some of the people that come in are not comfortable to use the computer at first, but we do get them to that point. We just had a student that wanted to learn about Indigenous studies. We signed them up with an online platform, and they've done, I think, 6 courses now with Indigenous studies. And there's like an online platform that they meet. They met 2 or 3 times, I think, and she comes into the center. We set her up with the Wi-Fi and make sure she's on. And
if we can make you fit into our mandate, we'll do everything we can. At the very least, we'll chat with you about what's available, and we'll send you home with a list of online places and say, you know, here's my email, reach out and just let me know how it's going.
Organizations like Contact North and the Prince Edward Learning Center work hard to guide us through the world of online learning. And there's no question, taking full advantage of what's available requires a level of digital literacy. We learned from our survey that most seniors are comfortable using their digital devices for basic tasks. Survey respondents also told us that they sometimes need a little help when the technology isn't cooperating or if they want to use it in new ways. Fortunately, there's help available both in our community and online. The County of Prince Edward Public Library provides technical support to people who are challenged by their digital devices and the applications. Residents can drop by, call, or email the library to book a one-on-one session with one of the library's tech support staff. They can help with everything from online security and file management to software skills and even makerspace technologies like 3D printing. Over the past year, the library conducted over 700 one-on-one tech support sessions to help with things like device setups, file management, lost passwords, and digital preservation. From time to time, the library also holds free digital literacy workshops. County residents can find out more by emailing techhelp@pecklibrary.com. If you can't make it into the library, you can access help online. Ottawa-based Connected Canadians is a trusted source of tech support for seniors. We spoke with their general manager, Ken Roy, about the services they provide.
Our primary mandate is to support older adults, folks that are 50 and up across Canada, but we also have a secondary mandate to support new immigrants and make sure that they can get the technology support they need, but also as volunteers can get, you know, experience working in a Canadian culture and volunteering with Canadian seniors as well. Our approach is very person-centered, individual-centered, because when we started providing support back in 2018 at Connected Canadians, we initially started showing up on the doorsteps of senior-focused organizations, kind of wanting to teach larger groups of seniors about specific topics. And we realized early on that everybody that needs help is at a different place with technology, has different unique needs with learning goals, learning styles. And we found out early on that having individualized, customized support and that approach really helped people build their independence and become more confident using technology. When COVID hit us in 2020, we had to shift a lot of what we were doing to a virtual mode of service delivery. So we had to put a lot of work into making sure that we could support people virtually as well as in person. That also helped us expand quickly across Canada because we started forming partnerships outside of Ottawa. We started bringing in volunteers from coast to coast. That is sort of how we provide our main one-on-one support program across the country, is through both virtual sessions and also in person where we have our mentors located. They can meet and book as many sessions as they need to become comfortable and confident. And that's a free, unlimited service that we offer. We also have workshops. We've developed 29 different workshop topics currently. Many are geared towards cyber safety, you know, understanding phishing scams, understanding how to keep yourself safe online, how to online bank or online shop safely, recognizing fake news on the internet.
So online learning is not just about taking courses. It's also there to help you get more comfortable with technology and get your questions answered. But who's doing the teaching?
We are a volunteer-driven organization, and There's a lot that goes into recruiting our volunteers, to making sure that the members of our team are people that we would pair with our own grandparents. And so there's a rigorous onboarding process that anybody that wants to volunteer with Connected Canadians has to go through. And it really focuses on the soft skills and patience and empathy that are required to help somebody, meet them where they're at with technology and help them at their own pace, but also build independence with them, as opposed to, you know, taking their laptop and saying, I'll show you how that's done, and doing all the work for them.
Maybe just if he could talk in general terms a little bit more about that, as to how you position your people with their clients in a way that gives the clients confidence about the relationship and the security of whatever information they're sharing.
So we want to make sure that every client at Connected Canadians feels confident that any volunteer that we're going to pair with them is somebody that we would trust implicitly to support them and to help them learn in an environment that's safe for them. So we always make sure that all of our clients understand that anybody with a Connected Canadian certification does have a vulnerable sector check, that they've gone through multiple rounds of interviews, provided government issue photo ID, they have provided multiple professional reference checks. They've gone through hours of onboarding and have impressed one of our test drive seniors at the very least. And then we work really closely with them to make sure that they understand how to help somebody feel comfortable, but also engage safely using virtual tools and digital tools. So that's something that is at the forefront of everything we do, is just making sure that our clients feel safe and protected by us as a service provider. Once folks reach out to us, our coordination team will have an intake call with them, get a little bit of an understanding of what they're hoping to get help with, what kind of device they need help with, and then they work to find the right volunteer to work with that individual based on a lot of factors, whether that needs to be in person or virtual, or what kind of device that person needs help with and their comfort level with technology. And to go even further and talk a little bit about the multicultural component of how we bring on our volunteers, we run many initiatives that bring on newcomers to Canada as volunteers at Connected Canadians, and they benefit so greatly from being able to interact with our senior clients. When they're new to Canada, they can learn so much about Canadian culture, and our clients can learn so much amazing things about their culture as well through those exchanges.
I guess we could say that learning goes both ways. On a side note, we learned that Connecting Canadians also administers a program called Connecting Through Art. It's a partnership with the National Gallery of Canada in Ottawa that connects art lovers with volunteers who will take them through a virtual tour of the gallery.
We had a lot of wonderful volunteers at Connected Canadians who had a lot of interest in art. So we developed the program so that our volunteers could take seniors who reached out to us through a virtual tour, exploring any of the art exhibits that they wanted to see, and just have that sort of one-on-one experience and kind of bond over a lot of the art that both were interested in. And so we still run that program to this day when folks are interested in exploring art. We can explore those exhibits online together.
As our series on seniors in technology, embracing the digital world, comes to a close, let's wrap up this episode with a feel-good story from Ken Rory of Connected Canadians.
Through funding from the government, we were able to put devices in the hands of folks who could then ultimately use that device for the first time and be connected. And this particular gentleman, he had not seen his sister in 5 years, and through using the iPad was able to connect with her and now has video calls with her every single day. And I do just feel the impact of having access to that technology and then friendly support in learning it, and somebody to help be there to help make sure you feel like this is not daunting. This is something that I can do. And it just unlocks an entire world for a lot of people. And we really just want to make sure that folks, you know that there are people out there that want to help them, you know, want to help make sure that they can access family, loved ones, services, health services, anything that helps to, you know, improve their lives. So that's just one small example, but there's so many that are just like that. You know, we also had somebody reach out and they had been compromised, they had been scammed, and they didn't know where to turn. The police were not able to do anything, and they reach out to Connected Canadians, and we've got a cyber safety first aid training and certification program that many of our volunteers go through, and also the seniors in our community. And she was able to get help by one of our mentors who had undergone that cyber safety first aid certification, and was able to just you know, relieve her, help her take those steps to make sure that her accounts were protected moving forward. And she was almost in tears from being able to get that help from Connected Canadian. So yeah, there's so many great success stories, and we're just eager to continue helping more folks.
Over the past 6 weeks, we've unpacked so much, from the excitement of learning something new, to privacy concerns, to new ways of bringing tech into our homes to enhance comfort and independence. We hope you've enjoyed listening along as much as we enjoy bringing you this programming. We'd like to thank today's subject matter experts, Dr. Natalia Balian-Niskova of York University, Lori Farrington and Terry Martin of the Prince Edward Learning Center, Tiffany Crow of Contact North, and Ken Roy of Connected Canadians.
Script writing by Astrid Young. Research by Bob Cook and Colleen Johnston. Interviews by Bob Cook. Music by John Sharkey. Production by David Wheatley and assisted by Gage Broderick. Administration, Gillian Carson. Grant writing, Lorraine Wilson. Narration by me, Wendy Mesley. Project coordination, Craig Mills.
99.3 County FM, your nonprofit community volunteer-driven radio station, is proud to provide a platform for the voices of our community. Thank you to our partners who helped create our documentary Seniors and Technology, Embracing the Digital World, the Prince Edward Learning Center, the County of Prince Edward Public Library, and the Prince Edward County Community Care for Seniors Association, with funding from the Government of Canada's New Horizons for Seniors program.